A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was standing one day by the lake of Gennesaret with the crowd pressing round him, listening to the word of God, and he caught sight of two boats close to the bank. The fishermen who got out of them were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, it was Simon's, and asked them to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and pay out your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I will pay out the nets." When they'd done this, they netted such a huge number of fish that their nets began to tear. They signaled their companions in the other boat to come and help them. And these came and filled the two boats to sinking point. Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Leave me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were completely overcome by the catch they had made. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. But Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on it is men you will catch." Then bringing their boats back to land, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. If the only documents we had from the New Testament were the epistles, we'd never know that Peter had ever had a different name, that he was called Simon. Might have suspected, because Peter, Petros in Greek, Kepha in Aramaic, which means rock, isn't a name. Might be puzzled by the name. And we might suspect that it was some kind of nickname or title. But he's never called Simon. The word name Simon never occurs regards the person we know as Peter. In this gospel he's called Simon twice. Simon's boat, and Christ speaks to Simon. Previously Simon has appeared in the Gospel of Luke as the man whose mother-in-law is cured by Jesus. And he's not called Peter at all until the story is finished. Then he's, for the first time, Luke calls him Peter. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Leave me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Luke doesn't explain that Peter is the Christ name for Simon, and he seems to assume we know him as Peter already, which is quite reasonable. Luke, the companion of Paul, and Paul always calls him Peter. However, here Peter's name appears for the first time almost casually, and yet also at the same time he's Simon. He's both. He's Simon and he's Peter. I dare say in his life Simon still thought of himself as Simon, that name that comes from our early days, the name we're called, sticks quite hard in our life, and even though many religious people change names, the old names never quite vanish. But here he's called Peter. And Luke calls him Peter not as part of a prophecy, not as a gift of Christ, of a new identity, a new way of living. Simply calls him Peter because here we start to see what it means to be Peter, to become a rock in the church. It's not leadership, it's not strength, it's not power, certainly not intelligence. It's rather a willingness to obey. Obedience itself may not seem like a desirable quality, and yet it's threaded through all Christian life. Sometimes the formal identity of a superior, and we obey them because they're simply the superior. It's called the grace of office. I have an experience of that myself. My mother had a stroke 3 years ago, and I was luckily at home because I'd heard she'd had a fainting fit, and the superior of the house I'm now the superior myself, really insisted I should go over for the night. Didn't think it was necessary, but the next morning I found her having a serious stroke, and luckily was able to call the ambulance. That's quite a startling example of the grace of office. Here, Christ asks them to obey and to trust, and also not to look at the past. The past tells them of their failure. All night we have been fishing and caught nothing. It's not of the past that we live in. we live towards the future. And Simon obeys. Yet at the same time, Simon is afraid. Leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And Christ says, do not be afraid. Simon is afraid of being Peter. The rock is based in faith and hope and trust, an insecure conviction that, after all, God's going to win. But Simon is afraid of himself. I'm a sinful man, leave me. And being afraid of himself, he's afraid of Christ. Leave me and leave me to what I am. Simon doesn't understand that he will change by serving, by obeying, by trusting. He will become a rock. And then Christ tells him not only to not be afraid, but what he is. In the Greek, it's a rather strange. It doesn't say you'll catch men. It says you'll be a catcher of men. You will be catching men, hunting them. That's what you are now, a hunter of souls, a title used for Paul the Cross, the founder of the Passionists. And he will hunt in the seas of humanity, much deeper than any earthly sea, much more dangerous, much more unpredictable, much more frightening. And there the image seems strange. A rock would sink in the sea. Of course, we know Simon only sank when he stopped believing in Christ. When he believed, he walked in the waters of humanity. And he brings us home. To believe, to obey, to trust. That makes us rocks. Strong and powerful and unmoved.